I'm excited about Service Sunday and what went on last week. I was really blessed. I felt like it was an awesome opportunity for us to bless people in practical ways. Today, and I don't think it's a coincidence that communion fell on today. I mean, we didn't plan it that way, but I think that it's a happy God thing that today we are taking communion and remembering what that commitment as we were taking the bread and the juice and what that means. As we've been learning in the last 9 weeks, all the different ways that we can walk in the footsteps of Jesus and learn to be more like Jesus, to put on Jesus's clothing so that we can move and breathe easily. I encouraged you, I think, at the beginning of this, and we'll get to see that. At the beginning, I encouraged you to be thinking about ways that you could take the scripture that was being presented and apply it into your lives. And then I did that again last week. And I thought, man, I wish I had been doing this each week so that we could be taking the information when we were learning it and being like, aha. And then my brother Glenn reminded me that through this pandemic, I learned how to video edit. Crazy. And so we get to get highlights from all 9 services today. And we can see what we've learned and then reflect as we'd learned it, whether we were here before or as maybe we're hearing it for the first time. What are ways God can be changing and moving in us? And as I was driving in today, I was thinking about, I sent an email out to a group of people and was just like, I made kind of a bold statement, I think. I said, hey, in the last 2 months, did you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life? And maybe it applies to some of the stuff we've been learning. And then I said to them, if you don't have one, this was on like maybe a Wednesday, well, you've got till Sunday, so go do it. Go make one. And I was thinking about that as I was driving in the car, and I was like, God doesn't stop working just because we stop listening or stop doing things. God is doing things in my life even now and has been doing things in every moment and every breath and every time that I'm sleeping. He's working. Just because I'm not maybe doing anything, it doesn't stop him from doing things. So I'd like you to reflect on maybe there's some cool ways God has been speaking to you, and we're going to give an opportunity to share that. My wonderful wife gave me some scripture to share, and I lost it, but that's pretty normal. So I pulled up some backups here. I wanted to read just something Jesus said. This is out of Luke 6. He said a lot of things in Luke 6, so I have to find the right one. All right, a tree and its fruit. This is Luke 6, 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. So think about that. What are you putting in? How are you investing? How are you building yourself up? What have we learned over the past 9 weeks that maybe we can be applying so that our fruit and the words and the breaths coming out of our mouth are good? Let's take a look at what we learned.
Today, we're beginning this new sermon series called Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, and we're really excited about this.
As we're looking at this series, is as you hear the word, as it's delivered each week, that you'd be meditating on what you can apply from it into your life ministries. And so as we look at Jesus, as we talk about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, that we would be pulling from that what we can be like, how can I foundationally shore myself up in the ministries of Jesus so that my life ministries are breathing Jesus's life into others?
Wouldn't it be encouraging to hear Jesus say to you something like, you know, the way you're living your life reminds me a lot of mine. You're looking more and more like me all the time. Christians know that if we want to be like Jesus, we need to know what Jesus is like. And that's the reason why we read the Bible. As we walk through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to see this pattern. And we're going to notice that actually it's really only the students of Jesus, the people who really take the time to listen to and to learn from Jesus, it's those people who actually finally do fully get it. They finally understand it. And they follow him as Savior and Lord.
And I think that there's two bad tendencies we can have in our lives as believers when it comes to temptation. Firstly, we can just blame it all on Satan, right? It's his fault. It's his fault. Eve did that. So my encouragement to you is be accountable. Grieve it. When it comes to our sin, grieve it. God does. How equipped are we? Do we believe spiritual warfare is present, that the enemy is at the gates? Because I'll tell you what, if you aren't in a place where you believe that, where you feel that, where you're prepared for that, then when you look out the gates, you're seeing the Trojan horse rather than the Trojans in the horse. Hold on to Jesus. Put on the armor of God. Acknowledge that spiritual warfare is happening, and we need to be on our guard against it.
When Jesus began his public ministry with the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," the word that he used for God's Spirit in Hebrew is the word ruach. Ruach is the word for breath, wind, and spirit. As I spent time immersing myself in this passage and praying about what to highlight today, I kept seeing that imagery of the breath of God. What might it look like to follow in Jesus' footsteps by bringing his life, his energy, his breath, his ruach into the world? How can we share our own God-given life force, the Holy Spirit, with people and the planet? Think about how small the phytoplankton are, but they show up and bless a stressed out planet with oxygen. So let's dive in and share our breath, our oxygen, our ruach. The Spirit of the Lord still hovers, and we are part of God's plan to make something beautiful out of all the chaos. The Spirit, the Ruach of the Lord, is on you because he has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
That if we want to be like Jesus, we need to know what Jesus was like. The point is, the reason that you and I should be more familiar with the Bible, it's so that we can become more familiar with who Jesus is and learn how to follow him in that way. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus means that we are taking in his word and living it out daily. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Peter is giving some words of encouragement because he has been encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Friends, there may be a cost to walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Some of you know this better than me. But think about how many fish Peter caught when he did what Jesus said to do. The benefits always outweigh the costs. Following Jesus may not be easy, but it's always worth it. So let's not settle for being Christians in name only. Let's be followers of Jesus, resisting the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, being filled with God's Ruach, his Spirit that brings life to our souls and to those around us. As we, like Peter, right, leave the comfort of our nets in pursuit of God's overwhelmingly great plan and purpose for our lives.
So travel light point one, we're going to go back, reduce your distractions and focus your dependence on Jesus. Not on your stuff, but on Jesus. Travel light point two is maximize your potential. It is impossible to comfort men's hearts with the love of God when their feet are perishing with cold. He knew the needs of the people, and he was meeting those needs. And it was opening doors that he could bring that spiritual peace. It was providing for their physical needs, and he was providing for their spiritual needs. And I know that times right now are not the same as when General Booth was helping people. We don't see people starving in the cold out there. But I can tell you, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, and there are a lot of people out there perishing in the cold. And just because it doesn't look the same doesn't mean it isn't happening. The real take home is what you do, how you interact, how you see people, and how you see their needs. Keeping those eyes open and looking for ways that you can bless others and encourage others out of our abundance. Because you have everything you need. You have Jesus. And he is everything you need. And if you're willing, you can do amazing things for his glory. And so can I. So let's pray for that today.
The Pharisees had certain rituals that they went through in cleansing before they went down to eat their meal. But they weren't about cleanliness. They were about ritual. And Jesus didn't go through that ritual. The Pharisees thought, wow, Jesus didn't wash. And so Jesus responded to them. But he did connect with them. He did go to the house. He knew that they had problems, but he still was willing to connect. And we as Christians need to be ready to connect with non-believers, non-religious, even people who are religious, but people that we differ with on their religious issues. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't become Pharisees, because there's a natural tendency to become a Pharisee, to become a hypocrite, and that our behavior is to flow out of who we really are, not just some phony picture that we present on the outside, but inside we're something different. He wants what we really are to flow out, and he wants to change what we really are to be like Jesus. We need to really understand God's grace We need to affirm it and walk in it and let it flow through us. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So Jesus confronted the Pharisees. We need to be ready to confront. We need to be ready to connect. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. They need a good example, not a self-righteous example. In Luke 15, all three stories had the same theme. Somebody lost something, but then it was found, and when it was found, there was joy in them. And the Bible says, also in heaven, all the angels in heaven rejoiced when something was found here on earth. There's probably four ways of being personally lost. The first one says you know you're lost and you need to be found. The second one, you're lost, but you don't even know it. The third one is you're lost, but you don't care. The fourth one is you were once lost, but now you've been found. If you're one of the first three above on there, the Bible states clearly that in Luke 11:9, if you seek God, you will find Him. If you're found, stay found and look for lost sheep to bring you home. And if you're lost, get found. There will be a joyful celebration. God bless you.
God sees you. This is what the compassion of God looks like. God looks, God sees, God notices, God rescues. Not only did Jesus not forget Jairus, He also saw his fear and addressed it with compassion. Jairus, the synagogue leader, Jairus, the person with power and influence, he had no power or influence over death, but Jesus did. Jesus still does. And even now, we know where the gospel is being proclaimed when we see people who are clothing themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where we see love in action through forgiveness and generosity and works of healing. If you are wearing Christ, if you have put on love, you are wearing a very comfortable, breathable garment. You can flex and turn. God has brought you to this moment and this day, not so that you can notice and rescue everyone, but so you can notice and bless someone. If there's someone or something that you need to see, God will bring clarity and help you know how you should engage. All you need to concentrate on is walking with Jesus, dressed like Him.
Jesus looks upon us all with compassion. And He has shown us His mercy by lifting us from our helpless sins, soaked, spiritually bankrupt, dying on the side of the road condition. And at His expense, He paid the full price for our rescue, our recovery, our salvation. Can you see Jesus in the Samaritan? And do you want to be more like Him? Imagine how much better this world would be if more Christians were walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And our prayer is that in this season of life, a brand new student at SUNY Potsdam or Clarkson or SLU or Canton, or a returning student, first time maybe on campus, like, oh, wow, people have legs, you know. Maybe we're later in life. Maybe we're struggling with job situations, marriages, or economic concerns, or health issues. Whatever the stage of your life is, whatever you are going through, yeah, it's our prayer. This is how Aaron and I are praying. It's our prayer that you would hear the voice of Jesus, your teacher, saying to you, you know, your life is looking like mine more and more all the time. Keep walking in my footsteps and know that as you do, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. That's what Jesus says.
Cool. So that's a snapshot of everything that we went through these last 9 weeks. Hopefully it was encouraging. And what I want to do is give an opportunity for me to talk a little less. I talk a lot. You all get to hear my words all the time. And I want to hear what God is doing in the body. And we're gonna kick this off. I'm going to invite my brother Scott up. He's got something to share. And then if you have something to share, we'll make room for that. Try and keep things brief because we want to hear from anyone and everybody who has a testimony. So
as Aaron said, I'm Scott. I've been actually part of New Hope Ministries, Koinonia Ministries, for 42 years. So I've been around. I want to let you know that I want to confess that I am an addicted results person. I'm addicted to results. And as I looked at last week's message, I was really blessed by the service and the prayer time after the service. And there's something that the Lord spoke to me as I looked at the account in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan, and that's that it fell short of telling about the results. We see the man, the certain man that was robbed and beaten. We see the Good Samaritan who came to his rescue and the investment into that man's life. And then nothing more is told. We don't know if he was healed. We don't know if he walked with a limp. We don't know if there's 100% recovery or if he was scarred for life. Nothing more is told in terms of results because nothing needed to be. You see, the focus that Jesus was giving to the audience that day was that what really matters is the compelling love factor more than projected results when you're dealing with people. And as I look at my own life, I think I've come up against a snag in that way because I am results-driven, I like to see positive things happen from positive investments. And so I of late have assessed 20 years of ministry and pouring into people, and I have had some, I can't put it any less than saying, I've had some severe disappointments. Even to say that I was disheartened by some of the results would be an understatement because of the way things worked out. It was not as I had expected. So I loved this scripture because what it didn't talk about was the results. It just kept the focus on investing and continuing to invest to the point that Jesus would say, go and do likewise. Go and do the same. And so I like results. I like them for the fact that they can be charted and they can be tallied. We heard about the results from last week's service time of the cards and the snack packs being packed. But you know, sometimes results with people are highly unpredictable. And sometimes it's a mixed bag, you know, and you don't know how to really sum it up or to think, okay, have I been successful in pouring myself out in love, in mercy to this person? And so sometimes they're a mixed bag. And I think Jesus addressed that in Matthew 13 in verses 24 and 30. I want to share a scripture with you. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, Then the tares or the weeds also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, this was inspirational to me, an enemy has done it. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. It's like Jesus is saying, don't worry about the results. Just keep on sowing. Because I will sort things out at the end, and I'm the one who really will acknowledge what the results have been. So there's five things that I learned from this as I was sitting in the prayer time and thinking and shortly after. First of all, don't let a setback in your life be a shutdown. Secondly, don't let your supposed failures be a finality. Thirdly, don't let a quote mistake, because who really is to judge the depth of a mistake? So don't let your quote mistake become a mentality. Don't let disappointment rob you from seeing his appointment in that. And then the fifth was also important. And don't be so disappointed in your own performance that you fail to see the grandeur of his. So I think of the scripture in Ephesians where it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all it may ask or think. And I think that even includes in the disappointments that we face in life. You see, God is phenomenally generous. He really is. So don't look at results and think that God has allowed some tragedy to triumph over his generosity, because God's not done. And he's not done in those things that you're disappointed with, or those mixed bag results that you can't sort out in your mind, because God is doing something. And we just need to let him do what he wants to do. So I was really blessed by the parable of the Good Samaritan. I was blessed for what it said, and I was blessed for what it didn't say. And I think of the challenge for us, the perpetual validity of this simple, very simple command, go and do likewise. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Go and do likewise. So I'm gonna pick my guitar up, actually. I'm going to set this mic right here. And if you're feeling led to give a testimony, there's a microphone right here. I'd love for you to come up and share with the body. Don't be shy. I'm never shy.
I'm not sure anyone's going to follow up Scott's with anything that will be quite as powerful, but... I was looking, can you see me up there? Yeah, okay. I was looking through an email that Aaron had sent earlier this week and going through my own notes from the sermons because I knew a number of them had touched me. I can be touched by something and then applying it sometimes takes a little while, so I'm thankful for this reminder of looking back over what we've been spoken to and thinking through, so I'll try to be short. What I pulled out of most of these sermons included understanding the reality of spiritual warfare, needing to seek God's help daily or even more often than that. Amidst the many choices and mindsets facing me, I consider that partly the mental health protection as well, needing to reduce my distractions and focus my attention on Jesus, especially in this very fast-paced, screen-driven world where it feels like there's chaos all around us. The speech on modern-day Pharisee, connecting and truly loving with those who believe differently than we do, that's been something on my heart for many, many years and something that I am still trying to really grapple with to understand where that is. God wants us to notice and rescue someone and not everyone. Sometimes I feel like that need to help is overwhelming. Because there's so many that you can't help when you start helping one, but the idea of that one is enough for now. That's what God wants you to focus on. And loving like a good Samaritan, when it's inconvenient and comes at a personal sacrifice. I feel like in this season, even more than normal, as things are constantly in motion, constantly changing, starting in my mind with all the COVID shutdowns and everything else, I start to build up some walls of what do I need in order to cope in this? What do I need in order to make through? So it's really hard to think of the things that require personal sacrifice right now outside of just the daily life. So I'm praying for wisdom in what that is, because I can be empathetic enough to the point where I can't do stuff that I need to do. So those were the areas that spoke to me through, those were some of the areas that spoke to me through those sermon series. And as someone who works with college students, I really like the idea of reviewing, studying, applying, and growing.
Thank you.
I wasn't planning on getting up here, but one of the things that came to me was, how well do we know our neighbors? Mm. Some of our neighbors have been next to us ever since we moved into Norwood, 35 years. Some of them have just been there for a few months or even, you know, 6 years or whatever. And so one of the things that happened, and maybe it was brought on by COVID, maybe it was brought on by neighborhood semi-disasters when we lost power for a day or two or whatever, but all of a sudden, people were getting more together. And it was an excuse to sit down in the side yard with a neighbor and really get to know them. Not just like, hey, how are you? Good, fine, how are you? Fine, you know, and that's about it. Like you do when you pass somebody in a grocery store or whatever. But it is really great to learn who these people are. And how can you witness to somebody effectively if you don't know who they are? Mm-hmm. And so we've found ourselves, Joanne and I, breaking bread with them, sitting in our side yard, impromptu things, and all of a sudden three or four couples are there and we're talking. Mm. Or I found myself in my neighbor's property out in West Stockholm, sitting in the middle of a pasture and having a horse come in and snorting in my back ear. But it was really cool, and it sets the ground rules and the whatever to actually effectively know your neighbor, mm-hmm. and to know how to witness them and to show your love, or Jesus' love, to them. So I hope you get to know your neighbor.
Thanks, James.
I feel like when I came to Potsdam, you know, before with COVID happening and everything, I know there was a period of time where churches were closing down, and I feel like that had a, you know, a significant effect on me. I was raised in the churches, you know, I grew up knowing what the Lord was to me. And I'm a music major. Music is something very important to my life. And as a college student, I'm a fan of excuses. You know, and I feel like, you know, throughout, you know, COVID and everything, shutting down the churches and giving the opportunity to have like this wonderful technology and bringing churches to your home, you know, really got rid of those excuses. I can't go to church. I have too much homework. I can't go to church. I have this going on. I'm just too stressed. You know, it's nice living only 2 minutes from a church now, because I can wake up at 10:24 and rush over here and not worry about missing church, or I can just turn it on my TV and get rest, you know, continue with the rest of my day. You know, it's been, you know, really helpful. I think through the recap, which I found really helpful as well, what really touched me was being lost and then found again, because I mean, throughout the whole COVID thing, I felt very lost in my faith. You know, I feel lost on a college campus knowing that, you know, not everyone there are Christians. You know, who can I go to that will understand what I'm going through. And I'm really glad that I found a community like this one and a church like this one that makes me feel welcome and feel whole. So thank you.
Praise God.
A lot of you know about my background. Some of you don't. But this series, I've been physical, mental, and sexual abused in my lifetime. Some of that, well, if I was sexual abused, I don't know what that means, what God is telling me. But physical and mental, I was... A lot of it is in the schools today, and that leads me to the prayers in all the schools, not just this county, but all over the country about the abuse in the schools. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, as you hear each day about gun violence in the schools, and that's scary. My theory is the devil is attacking, plus flesh is battling. But the words I keep saying to myself, devil, you lose, God wins. And that's what I keep saying to myself. Devil, you lost, God wins.
Thank you, David.
Not too many years ago, went to the doctor and from some tests, and he gave you that word you don't like to hear. You have cancer. And at first, kind of hit me, but I got thinking about it afterwards, and I thought, what would Jesus say? What would he do? And I prayed, and I prayed, God, I don't like to ask, but why is it happening? And scripture says if you ask, you're going to receive. And I got a word. I can't explain it to you. It just came to me just as clear as a bell. He said, Harvey, you've witnessed to a lot of people before that have had cancer, but you've never had the empathy that I want you to have. And the second one was, I'm going to put you in a place and have you meet people you've never met before. And I want you to be a witness for me. Well, reading scripture, what, you know, the footsteps of Jesus, you better know what Jesus would do. Otherwise, you're going to resort to your human nature. And that usually is fear. And we're now a child of God, and we have nothing to fear. So I went through all of my radiation treatments. And then in the process, you have to wait a lot of times in a waiting room. And I'm sitting next to people with far worse conditions than me. And I'm trying to encourage them and also realizing, God, what I have is nothing compared to what I'm looking at and seeing. And then in the process, God had a special nurse would take me into the radiation room. And in the process, I had a chance to talk with her about her spiritual life. She was going through a tough time. And her son had been killed by a person that should have been observing the rules of the road and ran over her son. And she just couldn't forgive the man. So I talked a lot about Jesus and about forgiveness, and through... I forget how many, 48 sessions, I think. She finally thanked me. And I even said to her, I'd like to write a letter to the person that ran over and regarding your situation, and maybe he would ask for your forgiveness. And she just said, thank you, but it's not time yet. Over the years, I see this nurse now and then, and I get a hug from her, a gracious one. In the last month now, I have been situated with another time, which I need an operation. And so I went in, and in order to get the operation, you have to have a pre-op. And one of the pre-operations is an EKG of your heart condition. And I've had a good physical heart up to then. And just recently, they said there's something going on irregularly with your heart. We need to test it. And you can't have your operation, which I need, until we straighten things out with the heart. So I'm right in the process now of rejoicing in the Lord always. I can't wait to see who he's got me to meet that I wouldn't have been able to meet if I had I just had the operation. So I give you words of encouragement. And I guess you get this as you get older. Dad said, you're going to mellow, son, as you get older. And I think that the scripture says you get wiser. And you better know what Jesus has in mind for you and how to walk in his footsteps if you ever get some situations that are tough to meet. It was great today to see you, Harold and Donna. You were encouraging. And God bless you, and we pray for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Harvey.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who shared today. I didn't want to get up here. I hate getting up here. I'd rather sing any day. But something that God has been working out across this whole series, Walking with Jesus, is what culminated last Sunday. I'm an educator, and I know those of you that are also educators, it can be very disheartening. It can be exhausting. It can be overwhelming. And people have been asking me, how are you? And I keep saying great, and I genuinely mean it. But then last week, as we sat down in our prayer circle up here, there was such a sense of grief and heartache. And I couldn't fill it. I couldn't fill those needs. But the thing that God keeps reminding me of is that he is our Savior. He is our rescuer. He is our Redeemer. We don't have to do everything. I can't rescue, but he can. And that lifts that weight off my shoulders. And that makes the one that I help worth my time and worth my energy. So thank you.
That's awesome. It's awesome hearing from everybody today, and we'll have more opportunities to do this. And if you have a testimony from this time and you weren't able to come up, or maybe you're sitting there and you're going, boy, standing up in front of a bunch of people sounds awful. I don't blame you. But I'd love to hear your testimony. And so if you would email the church and share that, I would love to hear it. And if you're willing to have it shared for you, I'd be willing to share it. But yeah, we'd love to hear your testimonies. I'm going to have John Ault come up, and he's going to share a little testimony from this, and then we're going to kick into some worship.
Before I share mine, I want to share one from Jane. She wasn't able to make it, but she wrote down a response to every one of the things that were shared, and I'll just share one of them. How are you moving forward in obedience to Christ? And she put, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me words to write which are difficult to share because I know some people will get offended. I still struggle with pleasing people. This is a growing edge for me. I try to speak truth in love and faithfully say what God gives to me. And she indeed does that in a beautiful way with her poems and her songs. Luke starts out by saying that he's writing to a fellow named Theophilus. Theophilus is literally a lover of God. And I don't think there was a person Theophilus. I think it was each one of us that he was writing to as lovers of God. And he laid out how Jesus reached out to the poor, to the rejected, to society's people who lived on the edge, and how Jesus called us not to be phonies, not to be hypocrites. He poured out his love, he poured out forgiveness, and he poured out hope. And that's what this book and the teachings have challenged me to, is to take what Jesus was and what he did
and share it with others. I can't die on people's cross for their sins, on the cross for people's sins. Jesus is the only one who could do that. But I can share his love, and that's what he wants me to do. And he wants you to do that. I love how Luke wrote the book of Luke about Jesus, and then he wrote the book of Acts, in which he illustrates how the followers of Jesus took what Jesus did and said and shared it with the whole world, with the Jews, but also with the Gentiles, with all the people who were different, who were outside of the normal realm of religion. And that's what he wants us to do, is to reach out to a really needy world. Mm-hmm. May God bless us as we do that.
Amen. Amen.